evening, everyone. Am I on here? I guess I'm on. No? Yes? It doesn't matter. I have a big mouth, so I can yell real loud. Welcome back, everybody. Good to see you this evening. And, I hope everybody brought their winter jackets or their thermal underwear with them. My wife, she's ready to get her sleeping bag out back. I'm going to ask Brother Joe Koval, would you please open up our service with a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that you can bring us back here again, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, Lord, we thank you for him, Lord. Amen. What he has done for us for our salvation, O Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for our pastor and his family, Lord. I pray you bless them, watch over them. That the Holy Spirit would give him the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as he speaks the word of God. And I pray for all those that cannot be here, Lord, for whatever the reason would be. And I pray, Lord God, that you minister to them, our dear friends, our brothers, our family of God, Lord. And I just thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, may he be uplifted here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If you would, stand with me, and we're going to sing 537. Hymn number 537. You must be born again. 663. Make me a blessing.
Sorrowing glad on earth. Your Bibles this evening. We'll continue on and looking here in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, and we'll pick up this evening here. Let's see here. Verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what things can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and this opportunity to be in church tonight. Lord, thank you for these brethren coming out, Lord. And Father, I pray now, dear God, you just bless this next little bit, Lord. Help us, dear God, to glean and to get what you have for us out of your word. Lord, help us to draw close to you, Lord, and continue to fight the good fight of faith, Lord. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Lord, and help us to rest upon that, dear God, and know, Lord, that in the end, Lord, all is well. And Father, I pray you'd help us now, guide and direct, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, we pick here up here this evening in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Paul says here that, I want to look at this last part here because it's been a while since we've been in Thessalonians. This part here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse number 5. Paul says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." As we read through here in the book of Thessalonians, even here, Corinthians, Colossians, Galatians, Paul's epistles to the brethren in these different churches in these different cities, Paul had a care and a love for the brethren that he ministered to. And as he writes to this church here in this first letter, he says to them, he says, "Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." You know, when you go out and you try to sow the word of God, the seed of the word of God, the tempter is going to come and try to steal away that word that hopefully God will allow to get into that heart and get planted and spring up to salvation. And Paul says here, "Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you." Take your Bible and look over at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Paul tells the church here at Corinth, he says in chapter 2 of verse 11, in 2 Corinthians, he tells them, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Anywhere there's truth, the truth of God's word, the truth of the scriptures, the truth of your testimony, you know, the truth of your testimony, the truth of your life, the enemy's going to come in and try to spoil that, because it's through truth that individuals realize their need of salvation. It's through truth that individuals grow closer to the Lord. And Paul tells the church there at Corinth, he says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So God help us this evening, may the Lord help us this evening to help us as we go further on in our walk with Jesus Christ to not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. Look at chapter 2 Corinthians, same book. Flip over to chapter 11 and look at verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at, we'll review verses 1 through 3. Same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Here you see Paul's desire is, brethren, it's just not a matter of getting saved and then everything's okay and I can just go about my life now because I've checked that box off. I'm saved, I know Jesus Christ, he knows me, I'm saved, I've been born again. Okay, now I can go back to what I was doing before. Paul, you see Paul's heart here in chapter 11 in Corinthians, in that not only does he want individuals to be saved, but he wants them to get to a point in their Christian walk, like we talked about this morning, to the point where you're presented as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. That when you get home to heaven someday, I know it sounds like I keep repeating it, but this thing won't leave me alone. To get home someday and you don't regret it. Paul says here, he says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. And I see it as a preacher. I have a love for the people of this church. I do. And you know what grieves, you know what, and I can see sometimes when Paul talks about, and I've never experienced before because I've never been a pastor before, but it hits your heart when you see people start skipping out on church. It bothers me. It bothers me sometimes when I come to church and you don't see individuals that come to church. It weighs on my heart. It's like, well, why aren't they in church tonight? Is everything okay? Are they all right? Is there something more that I can do? Because I have a heart for you. And Paul had a heart for those at Corinth. He says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. But look at verse number 3. He says, but I fear. This is a fear of Paul, the apostle. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We're not ignorant. What did he say in the 9 chapters before? Lest Satan get an advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices. He says here again, Satan beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Take your Bible, flip on over to James, the book of James. Book of James, chapter 1, James 1, verse 12. We're looking here this evening where Paul wrote to the church there at Thessalonica saying, lest the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now you have temptations, I believe, that the enemy sets up in our lives and brings across our path. But I believe also God requires of us not to put ourselves in places of temptation. If I have a problem with alcohol and there's something I struggle with, then I'm definitely not going to walk into a bar. I struggle with alcohol. God, help me with this temptation I have with alcohol. And some people, that's a big thing with them, even after they get saved. It's a struggle that they got. And it's an honest struggle. Doesn't mean they're lost. It's just, that's their thing. That's what they struggle with. We all have our own thing that we struggle with. Even after we're saved, there's just something there, that one thing, two things, that just always gets us. Right? So, but if my struggle is alcohol because maybe I came out of an alcoholic situation before I was saved, or my parents were alcoholics, or whatever the case may be, but that's my struggle, I can't walk into a bar or walk into Walmart near the beer section purposely, and as I'm walking in the beer section, because I don't need to be there. Last time I checked, the beer isn't in between Budweiser and Coors. But I'm walking through there, God, just help me. Help me with, don't put yourself in the situation. Right, this is devil's trying to get me. No, you're trying to get you. You put yourself in that spot. So there's the temptations of the devil in the world, but there's also situations that God expects us not to put ourselves in if we deal with a certain subject or have a certain problem or issue. Okay? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Book of James says here, he says in verse number 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts. Whatever our struggle may be, let us ask God to help us not put us ourselves in situations to where we may be tempted to sin against God. Lest the devil should get advantage of us. I've been reading this book here, and it's very good. Charles Spurgeon wrote it, but it's The Christian Spiritual Warfare. And he says this, that, and I was wondering when I'd like to read it, and I think I'm just going to read it now. He talks about spiritual battles and fighting the spiritual fight and warfare. And he says, he's referring to Satan. And he says, he, referring to Satan, also leaves God's people very quickly when he sees that they are sustained by superior grace. He, referring to Satan, hopes to catch them when grace is at a low ebb. He goes on to say, if he can come upon them when faith is very weak, when hope's eyes are dim, when love has grown cold, then he thinks that he will make an easy capture. But when we are filled with the Spirit as the Master was, God grant that we may be, he looks us up and down and presently sheers off. Like an old pirate who hangs about the lookout for a merchant's vessel, but if he meets with ships that have plenty of guns on board and hearty hands to give him a warm reception, he goes after some other craft not quite so well able to resist his assaults. Oh, brothers and sisters, be it not merely Christians, only barely Christians, with just enough grace to see you through your imperfections, but pray to God to give you mighty grace that you may be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that after the devil has tested you and found that the Lord is with you, that God dwells in you, then you may expect that as with your master, so will it be with you, Satan will leave you. Make sure, as he's putting in a picture of a ship, your ship is well laden with guns. You got sure hands on board. You're fighting the good fight of faith. You put the armor of God on. You're staying in God's word. You're coming to church. You're around the brethren. You're trying to fight the good fight of faith. Make it hard for the devil to attack you. Make it a difficult task on his end. Because you know what he's looking for? He's looking for that one that starts drawing away. Hasn't prayed for the last couple days, hasn't read his Bible for the last couple days, and now he's like, okay, here's my opportunity to shoot my guns at this individual. Paul tells the church there at Thessalonica in verse number 5, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Our labor be in vain. Now look at verse number 6, back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us, so they were there in Athens. Paul sends Timothy to check on the church there at Thessalonica. He says now that Timotheus has come back to Paul. He's come back to them there. And look what he says in verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Now, as we're going to go through, look, Paul was also going through some things. Paul has some heavy weights on his shoulder. He goes through a whole list at one point, and then he says he also has the care of the churches. So Paul was carrying around a great weight. Paul had a love for the brethren that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that someday he could present them as a chaste virgin to the Lord. So Paul has this weight. And can you imagine Paul when Timothy comes back to him and the good news he gets? Timothy comes back to Paul and says, Paul, not only are they in the faith, not only are they still serving the Lord, they greatly desire to see you. They're doing good, Paul. They're living for God. They're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're staying faithful to them through all things that they're suffering. They're still fighting a good fight of faith. Imagine what that does to the Apostle Paul. Imagine that that puts a little skip in his step now saying, good, amen. Thank the Lord, the brethren there at Thessalonica, they're still going on for him. It's the same for us. We're no different. We're no different, brethren. If someone drops out of church or away from God, I don't know about you, but it's going to grieve me. And if somebody comes in new and gets saved and has a heart for God, that's going to put a skip in my step. Amen. Glory to God. There's somebody coming in and wants to serve and love God. That's going to make me happy. You see, no man lives and dies to himself. We all, whether we care to or not, affect one another because we're a body. We're a body in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was happy to hear that they desired greatly to see them as he also to see them as well. This good news, this good word brought back to Paul by Timotheus, what a help it was to him. Take your Bible, look over at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. Good news brought back to Paul. Philippians 1, look at verse 27. Look at verse 25. Philippians 1, 25. Now I'm going to say this before I read this here. Paul was not supernatural. Paul was a man. He was a human being. I think sometimes we might look and read about people in the Bible and think that they're at some unattainable height that we can't get to, and that's false. That's false. We can have just as much of a walk with God as Paul had. We can have just as much victory as Paul or Peter or whoever you want to name in the Bible. We can just have just as close as walk to God as they had. Just because he was an apostle doesn't mean that there was something that he had that was unattainable for the rest of us. Absolutely not. But a lot of Christians live in that mindset. Well, that's the Apostle Paul. No, that can be you too. That can be you too. You can have that walk with God. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, for by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know what Paul wanted to hear as a preacher, as an apostle? If he couldn't be with those brethren, here again, he has a desire to be with another church and another group of brethren. And he says, and if I can't be with you, help me to hear of your affairs. Help me to get word back to hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That will lift my heart up, Paul says, when I hear those good words that you're striving together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Flip over to chapter 4, same book, Philippians chapter 4. Look at what he says in verse number 1, Philippians 4, 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul had a love for the brethren. Paul had a care for the churches. They were his joy and crown, especially as they stood fast in the work of the Lord. A good report brought back to Paul by Timotheus. Now, flip back over to Thessalonians again, chapter 3, and look at verse 7. Therefore, brethren, he gets good word back from Timotheus as he's writing this letter to them. He says, therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our afflictions and distresses by your faith. How does Paul receive comfort? He receives comfort by hearing the good report brought back by Timotheus. Paul's going through some fights. Paul's going through some battles. Paul is fighting the good fight of faith. And he says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted. Who? Paul and Timotheus and other brethren over you. We were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distresses by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Joy. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Paul mentioned there, as we were reading there in Philippians, about a joy that he had. I'm going to ask here, and I'm not going to be much longer this evening, but I want to close with these few thoughts. Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? Look back over the first chapter here in Thessalonians. Look back over at the first chapter and look at verse 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Paul tells there in the first chapter in verse 2, he gives thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Flip over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans 1, 8 and 9. Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Do you see a theme with Paul? In all his letters to all the churches, he's thankful for the brethren. He makes mention of them in his prayers, and he desires to be with them. That's what builds a strong body for the Lord Jesus Christ. To where we're thankful for one another, we're joyful that we get to spend time together, and we pray for one another. That'll make a strong body. That'll make a strong body of believers in a local church, to be thankful for one another. You know, brethren, it's so easy to be unthankful. I don't know about you, you might be a better Christian, but to me it seems like it's so hard to implement things that are good. It's just so easy to do things that are wrong. It's hard to be thankful. It's very easy to be unthankful. It's very easy, I know, in my own life, to be critical. It's just so easy to have a critical spirit about things. It's so easy just to look at the bad in someone rather than seeing the good that's there. And I believe the enemy knows that. And I believe the enemy will play on that. Let us ask God to help us to be thankful for one another, even though we might let one another down. Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Paul almost sounds like a broken record. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look what he says in verse number 4. To another church in another city, to another set of believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4. Paul again states here, chapter 1, verse 4 in Corinthians. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Thanking God again for the brethren at the church there at Corinth. Ephesians. Flip over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Here again, to another church, to another city, to another set of believers, Paul states that he ceases not to give thanks for them and makes mention of them in his prayers. Paul was not only thankful for the brethren, but he made intercession for them with joy. The last part there, it said in Thessalonians that we read in chapter 3, verse 10, it says, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, before our God. The word joy means this, the passion or emotions excited by the acquisition or expectation of good, the gratification of desire or of some good possessed. You know what some good is possessed by us believers, something that God's given us that's something special, is one another. That's one thing I've learned about church. One thing that made me see a difference. That I know that this is the truth. You see, you might not have a good blood relation with family members. But I'll say this evening, I have a closer relationship with my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ than I do with my own blood family. Amen. Do you know how special that is? Someone may say, well, I never had a dad. I never had a mom. I never had brothers and sisters. I never had grandparents. You can find all those things in a local body of believers. I have a lot of mothers in Christ Jesus. I've had a lot of fathers in Christ Jesus. I've had a lot of grandparents in the Lord Jesus. I've had more brothers and sisters than I ever had in my blood with a blood brother or blood sister in Christ Jesus. I consider my church and the brethren that I know my family. You are my family. We are one another's family. If you're saved, we have a closer relationship than blood. Do you hear me this evening? If you're saved tonight, you and I have a closer relationship than if we were blood related. Because we're both in Christ Jesus and He's in us and we've been born again. We are now a child of God. You want power. You want help. You want strength. Realize what God's given you in one another. there's joy in that. There's joy in it to realize you're not alone. You are not alone. We should be there for one another, and we ought to pray to God to help us to have the heart that the Apostle Paul had. To where Paul, you can see as you read through his epistles, this desire to be with everyone at the same time, but he was only one man, it can be only one place at one time. But his heart was with all the brethren and all the churches that he knew. He had a desire to be there with them because he loved them. And when he was together with them, there was a joy to be together. There ought to be a joy when we come together in church. Not that we get to come and hear me. I'm pathetic. But to have the joy to be together with one another, that we get to see one another, we get to talk to one another, that we get to be together with one another because of what we have in Jesus Christ. That we can come together as a body and praise our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the unity and the love that we now have because of what He's done for us. If we allow that to work in our lives, this church, this set of believers, will be like a bonfire to this community. That's one of the first things I noticed, because I grew up in church. That's one of the first things I noticed in that church back home. As soon as I walked in the doors, I said, something's different about this place. Because of the love and the unity and the worship and the togetherness, I had never seen that nor experienced it before in my life. How it wasn't just church, it was family. I just don't want to have church. I want us to be family in Jesus Christ. Family, family that cares for one another, that will be there for one another, even when it's inconvenient, even when we annoy one another, even when we do things that we don't like what others are doing, yet we can set that aside. As long as it's not sin, we can set it aside and say, I'm going to love you anyway because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. You want to talk about power? You want to talk about victory? You want to talk about strength? You want to talk about joy? Let us take the example of the Apostle Paul and our Savior Jesus Christ to where we have joy one for another. Joy in Jesus Christ. Let's close up with this last verse here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope? Paul says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, for what is our hope? For what is our joy? For what is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. We can provide joy to one another by our steadfastness and desire to live for God and fight the good fight. May God help us to be there for one another as we strive to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may God help us to draw closer to one another as we draw closer to Him in these last days that we're living in. Brethren, as this thing goes further along, we're going to need one another more and more and more. It's going to get to a point to where you're just not going to be able to just play church. We're going to really need one another. We're really going to need one another. So help us to build those relationships. Help us to build that unity. Help us to build that love and that care and that compassion for one another now. that if things should get dark, we can continue to be that light for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray that these things made sense tonight, dear God. Help our joy, Lord. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to walk with you, to draw near to you, to stay faithful to you, Lord. God, I pray you'd help us all, Lord. Help myself, dear God, to make continual intercession for the brethren. Lord, that we would have a heart and a desire to be with one another. Lord, that we would grow closer together as a family in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that we can be about your business until you call us home someday. Father, Lord, I pray you'd help this church here, Ray Street Baptist Church. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that when we go home to heaven someday, we may be as a chaste virgin. Lord, that we would be without blemish and without spot, dear God, that we would be pleasing in your sight, dear God, for the fight that we fought down here on this earth. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to love one another and help us to love you. We pray all these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You have one? Page number 328, if you're able to stand, the blue hymn book, page 328. Page number 328.
Thank you. In Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.